Right, the Gemara is coming off of the discussion of Rav and Abaye, whether Eid Zomim, or Eid Zomim, I guess, whether they become disqualified retroactively, right, or are they disqualified mikan ulaba, right? So if they gave their original problematic testimony in January, and then they serve as aid into a bunch of different cases in February, and then they become huzam in March, back on what they did in January. So the question is, are they nifsal retroactively, or are they nifsal from now, from here on out? So the Gemara, there we go. The Gemara is trying to figure out, right, trying to bring rayas to each side. And in the middle of Ayin Gimel and Aleph, the Gemara brings this braisa and suggests that Abaye and Rava depend on this braisa. Right, what we have is we have two people. We have Edim to Gneva, and then we have Edim to Tvicha u'Mechira. So basically, the problem that you're going to have is if they become huzam retroactively on the Gneva, right? So then, right, so they at T1 they were made on the Gneva, and then at T2 they were made on the Tvicha u'Mechira. But if they become huzam on the Gneva, right, so that's going to ruin their edus on the Tvicha u'Mechira. So the Gemara goes back and forth, try to spell out what exactly the case is that the Tanaim are arguing about, right? And then the Gemara comes to the conclusion, right? So perhaps everybody agrees that toch de dibur ke dibur dami. Right, in which case we treat the testimony that they gave on the Gneva and the testimony they gave on the Tvicha Mechira as one simultaneous piece of testimony. And then, when they become huzam on the Gneva, so the question is going to be, is that going to retroactively ruin everything they said or not? Right, and then the Gemara says, perhaps no, right, maybe everyone's going to agree that the Edim Zomim are Nifsal retroactively. The only question is, do we say that, do we say Toch Kede Dibur, Kede Dibur Dami, or not? Right, that's basically what we've got going on. So what Toch Kede Dibur, Kede Dibur Dami is going to do here is that it is going to take the two pieces of testimony that they gave within the period of Toch Kede Dibur, and it's going to make them into one unit, right? So that's why, according to Rabbi Yossi, if the Edim fall on the if they fall on Gneva, then they'll fall on Tvicha Mechira as well, because, right, we say this is one piece of testimony and it's all gone, and according to the Rabbanu, right, there are two different pieces of testimony. Okay. So this then raises the question to us of how exactly does Toch Kedibur Kedibur Dami work? What does it mean? What's going on? So the first thing we want to know is this a local machlokas just about Toch Kedibur Kedibur Dami for Edim? Or when the Gemara is suggesting this machlokas, is this really a general machlokas about Toch Kedibur Kedibur Dami across Halacha? And there's one pretty clear proof that this seems to be more general machlokas. And that is, right, when the Gemara in Ayin Gimel Amud Beis starts to explore the position of Rabbi Yossi, who are saying, thinks Toch Kedibur Kedibur Dami, right, so where do they ask the kasha from? Tamura, right, unrelated to Eidos, right, so the fact that we're going off the range indicates to us that this is a broader issue, right, we're talking about, on a general level, whether we say Toch Kedibur Kedibur Dami or not. What does the Gemara end up saying about the Tamura situation?
I end up saying
sort of depends how long your like pause was, or how long it was until you sort of changed your mind and started saying something else. Whether it was the length of a Sheila Shalom
Rav, right, we make a distinction between two different time frames, right? The longer one and the shorter one. So this is great because this does open up for us, like, what is the time of Toch Kedibra Kedibra Dami. I was going to say is the actual period of time.
Shilat, Tom and the Ra.
Yeah. Meaning what? Right? So
the short one is Rabatam. And everyone holds it up. Rabbi Yossi is the one who holds up the other one.
Oh, the long one. Right? So everyone agrees to the period of time of for a Talmud, say, to the...
No, the Rav...
Right, Rav the Talmud, right? So Shalom Alecha, right, versus Shalom Alecha, Rabbi U Mori, right? So is this just like an arbitrary time? Are these arbitrary time frames? Or is this a particularly significant reference to the Rav and the Talmud, right? So that's what Rabbeinu Tam's going to think, right? Yeah, what's the marker for Toch Kedibra Kedibra Dami? In the Gemara?
Just the Makor?
Yeah.
Pasuk? Or just
Makor? It doesn't seem like Pasuk.
Yeah, I would say it's Pasuk. What's
saying? When there's like a little asterisk and a little bet next to it, does that help us? No.
So at least from our Gemara, it's unclear. Right? We have a debate about Toch Kedibra, and we don't know what the source is. So we'd want to know about that, too. Are we applying Toch Kedibra to Doraisa situations?
Are we applying to Doraisa? Yeah.
It seems like it, right?
That's
more. So we would want to know how this can work on a Doraisa level. Right. If we don't have a makar, that might bother us. Mm-hmm. Slash it should bother us. We're gonna have to figure that out. Okay. There's also right, there's Tosfos Dirmaschal Tre Toch Kedibra Havu, right? So they raise an interesting idea, which they reject, but we should find appealing for two reasons, right? They say, oh, maybe there's right, I might have thought there's a difference between Toch Kedibra Katan and Toch Kedibra Gadol regarding what you're doing in this Toch Kedibra, right? Perhaps a long pause would be sufficient for explaining what you were saying, right? While a short pause would be sufficient for reversing what you were saying, right? So they don't like it, but that does raise two issues also for us to discuss when thinking about Toch Kedibra. Number one is, right, it makes sense that there could be a distinction between explaining what you were saying and going back on what you were saying, right? That we'd definitely be more forgiving of explanations than of backsies. And also, let's put this out there now, right? The different, it makes sense for different time frames to have different significance. If you go to like infinitely small units of time, right, so in theory, right, like everything is said, anything you say, there is some, you know, infinitesimal unit of time between the first thing you said and the second thing that you said, right? Mm-hmm. So to some degree, like definitionally, we're going to have to recognize that there is some, unit of time which is not going to interrupt various things that come out of your mouth, right? Otherwise, that's just how like basic laws of nature work.
Mm-hmm.
So should that play a role, maybe we could think about, and also how literally we're taking Toch Kedibra Dami. Is this an idea that is exclusively reserved to speech, or is this going to apply to other areas as well? Okay, so Our Tososki Leisle, right, presents the view of Rabbeinu Tam, right? That's the first view we have as to what the nature, the source, what's going on with Toch Kedibra Kedibra Dami, and it's a pretty funny idea, right? So what does Rabbeinu Tam propose?
Pretty much like when you're just having a conversation with someone and you stop temporarily because there's a chiyuv to greet your rav.
Right.
So you apply to such to certain situations of that sort, but not without bounds of that.
So the only, right, we're concerned for scenarios where you're in the middle of doing something, right, and then you, so I agreed to a sale, let's say, right, and then I said okay, and then instantaneously afterwards I was about to say, never mind, right, but then unfortunately at that exact moment in time, right, my Rebbe walks by, I'm obligated to shechem kavod and give him a shalom aleichem. Right, and then without saying Toch Dibrik Dibur Dami, you would be stuck, right? Because now you have to say hello to your rabbi, and then that's going to force you to no longer be able to go back on what you said. Right. That's what you're talking. In other words, this is a gzeira. Right? Mm-hmm. It's a gzeira to give you a certain amount of time lest you want to reverse yourself in scenarios where you are obligated to be doing something else at this moment in time.
Right. So according to him, the whole, the Shelat Tama the Rav isn't just an arbitrary unit of time, it's a specific example.
Exactly. Right. That's one of the great strengths of his Pshat, is this is kind of random. Where are we coming from with Shalom Alecha Rebbe? And the answer is that the whole point of the institution is for these cases.
Shows us other
Rabbi
down again.
Kilei Slei the Rabbi Yossi. Right, it starts, it's in the middle of the thing. Vashir Kadesh, there's Tom Shalom Rav, Vafashir Natam, Dahina Taima, Tekash Adam, Meir, Edus, Osik, Akachamemkar, Vacharinos, Shalom, Rabu, etc. Yeah. Right, and actually there is a the Kod Gurin in Nazir, which actually seems to back up Arena Time pretty solidly. Problem that Arena Time, right, so it's the problem that Arena Time runs into.
The Nazir?
So Nazir is the Raya for him, right? Mm-hmm. The Gemara Nazir seems to we're gonna mess over the Talmud, right? That's what the Gemara Nazir is talking about. But then they quote this problematic Gemara in Nedarim.
Kriya,
right? So what's the Kriya scenario?
If someone faints and you think they're different.
Let's go to the Gemara. Right.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get that open. The Gemara Nedarim.
Someone faints and you think they died, so you tear Kriya, but then they actually die, are you would say.
Right. And we say, right, if it's within the unit of Tochid Dibur, then it's going to... right, exactly. Then it's going to cover you. Right. And likewise, right, if someone tore Kriya and it was on the wrong relative, and it's then Tochid Dibur, so it's going to work as well. So that's Tochid Dibur, but on the wrong end of time, right? Usually we have, you do something, and then you kind of want to go back on it, right? And here, you were...
you don't want to go back on it, you just want it to keep working.
Yeah, exactly. We're trying to extend the Maisa to Tochid Dibur Dami. And so that doesn't make any sense in Rabbeinu Tam's paradigm, right? Because if the whole gzeira was just to bail you out, it was an emergency situation. So what are you going to do? So there are two answers that are given for Rabbeinu Tam: one in Artosos and one in a bunch of other ones. Right. So the one in Artosos, which is tentatively suggested, is, right, maybe they had some kula for Kriya, right? There is a general principle in Hilchos Avelos that we're holy chachar hamikil b'Hilchos Avelos, above and beyond the normal law of Safek Drabban on the kula, and generally we have a kula orientation towards Avelos as well. So that could be part of this idea, right, that we give you some sort of flexibility for Hilchos Kriya.
I didn't read him as saying the issue is that they were pulling the, we're setting the time on the end, after the Maisa, but I understand him saying that my Shayet Shi'or Zeh, meaning you can say about other cases where it's a Shayet Shi'or when someone says something and when you're having a conversation, then you stop for a second and find someone else. But in this situation, there's no conversation going on. Someone just passed away. So right. why is there a Shir Zaman of Tokhide Dibor? What Dibor? Why is that Shayet? That's it.
As the question on here.
Yeah.
Right. So that the exact weakness with this answer of maybe there's a kula for kriya is, what do you mean there's a kula for kriya? This institution is totally irrelevant to kriya, right? Like we're just gonna, you know, go easy on the person and we'll relax our standards. It could be, but it's a unrelated logic. Like svara wise, there's no connection at all between Rabbi Natan Tochei Dibur Kedibur Dami and the idea of, right, extending the act of kriya for that amount of time. Which is probably why Tosos in a number of other places give a different answer. Right? You know what the answer was?
I forgot.
If I have a dinder abundant and I see it applied in cases where it doesn't make any sense to apply it, so instinctively, what would you think might be going on? Right. And just, you know, just think for a second, right?
You have a dinder abanan.
I have a dinder abanan, and I see it being applied in cases where it doesn't make any sense to apply the dinder abanan. So that happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because of the institution of low plug. Right? That we, yeah, low plug their abanan, right? And they apply their gzeros on a universal level. So that could be what's going on here as well, right? That we have an across-the-board institution of toch kedei dibur kedei berdami. And even though in a chanami it only makes sense in the context of the, you know, the student in the marketplace who's about to get messed over with his speech, we're just going to say, right, keep things straight, keep things simple. You have the amount of time of toch kedei dibur kedei berdami for you to go back or for developments to be considered as if they're all working together, right? And that's what Tosos and a couple of other places say as well. Now, why would Nartoso say that? That's a pretty solid answer. So I think it's because if you say low plug, you're going to get into a very funny situation. I've been asking people if they can come up with a similar one for me, and so far nobody has. Which is, do we always say toch kedibur kedibur dami, or are there exceptions?
We don't always apply it. Like, it doesn't always... There are some exceptions to Tokhu Deibor. Like, Avod HaKhavim.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
Avod HaKhavim. Avod HaZara. So what that look like in Avod HaZara? What would that... Let's describe that case.
It's you place something as Avod HaZara. Once you claim as the Avod HaZara, you can't be tracked.
Yeah, you can't say within Tokhu Deibor, you know, Zeus is Akbar, right, and whatever. And then it's 2 seconds later, never mind, right? Kiddushin, right? You can't say Harim Kiddush at Lee with the Ba'azog, that's Lashri Yisrael.
And Gerushin.
Yeah, right, Gerushin as well, and Megadif, right, which is a cursing God.
The reason why we don't apply in those cases...
Yeah, so why wouldn't we apply in those cases?
Is because we're Machmir Rabbanan.
You know what?
Because they're Rabbanan were... Yeah, they're Rabbanan were Machmir, in those cases specifically, as explained by Rashi. We don't do it by condition because we don't want to be, I guess, I think Rashi said we don't want to be treated lightly.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it by Vodazara. I think all those cases pretty much that's the reason because we don't want them to be treated
lightly. Yeah, these are pretty serious and severe institutions, right? So if you're saying this is all working Midrabanan, right, so the Rabbanan are not cutting you slack in these four cases. The only problem is that once you invoke low plug, so then you're going to come onto a situation where you're saying, we have a low plug with plugs. Right? As far as I know...
There are no other low plugs with
plugs. So I've been asking people, and no one's been able to readily give me one. So it totally... There must be one out there. But so at least where I'm sitting right now, that's a live mystery. So we've got one here, right, that according to according to this view in Rabbeinu Tam, we have a low plug with plugs, which is not so comfortable, because like once we press the red button, like, you know, we should be saying this across the board. So that could be one reason why Artosos didn't want to say low plug, because Artosos mentioned those cases of getting Kiddushin, Avodah Zarah, and Begadiv. The existence of those cases raises another potential problem with Rabbeinu Tam as well, which the Ran in Nedarim asks. I didn't give you that part of it, but Ran in Nedarim asks us too. So all cases we say Tochei Dibur Dami except for these four. These four, so let's say somebody did Avodah Zarah in front of Edim and they with a Hasra, and then they tried to go back. So what's going to happen to these people?
The first thing they said stands.
Right. And in a time where the Beis Din is active?
Same.
Yeah, we're going to kill them, right? Yeah. It's a Chi of Misa. They were over Avodah Zarah Midah Reisa, and they're dead, right? Mm-hmm. So clearly we say that, right, this is a D'oraisa situation, and in this situation we don't say Teuch Kedibur Kedibur Dami, but only these four, meaning in general, even on a D'oraisa level, we're going to say Teuch Kedibur Kedibur Dami, right? So the Ran asks, right, I'm bothered with Rabbeinu Tam to say this is all Midrabanan, because then you're going to end up being like, right, Oker Davina Torah Be'ekum Vase, which always makes us... always makes us uncomfortable, right? So that's just another issue with Rabbeinu Tam's pshat, which needs to be worked out. Rabbeinu Tam's pshat has the two advantages of it are the fact that we don't see a makar, and the fact that it explains the Shelas Talmud. But relegating this to the realm of Derabanan gives it questions as well. One, the question of why are we applying it sometimes and not others, and also the question of how can this work on a D'oraisa level? So I haven't seen anyone say this, but I thought that part of the solution for Rabbeinu Tam might be that we're not... as I said before, by definition, every statement has some minute unit of time in between the first syllable that you uttered and the second syllable that you uttered. So Tochei Dibur Kedibur Dami might be not a complete invention of the Rabbanan. It could just be an expansion of, or it could be a Rabbanan expansion of what's already like just a principle ingrained in nature, which is that by definition there is some time that elapses between thing A that you said and thing B, and that doesn't bother us, right? And then all the Tochei Dibur Kedibur Dami is doing is just expanding that expanding that amount of time. That might, you know, having a Dindra Bunnan, which is an expansion rather than a total innovation, I think could relieve some pressure off of Rabbeinu Tam. But it's still terrifying. Okay. So let's leave that for now.
Why does it make it better for Rabbeinu Tam if it's a natural? Because then at least,
there are two basic types of gzeiros. So you have gzeiros, which are expansions of pre-existing dina d'oraisa, and you have gzeiros, which are total d'oraisa inventions. So if we say, look, we already recognize that there is a concept of toch kedibur kedibur dami, and all we're doing is expanding that pre-existing concept to the time frame of Kadesh Elas Talmud Larav,
mm-hmm.
So I don't think I would be quite as bothered by being, you know, Oker Dvar Min HaTorah, because look, you know, there's some unknown mysterious time frame which does not bother us, right? And so all we're doing is being Koveya, right, until this point in time. Right, so yeah, let's say the Rabbeinu Tam is like 3 seconds. So we're pretty confident that the 3 second mark is beyond the pale of the D'oraisa halacha.
Mm-hmm.
Is 1 second beyond the pale? Yitochen shelo. And so maybe there's some, we're really dealing with like a gray zone, right? And 3 seconds, we just push us to like the most outer limit of that gray zone. That's the best I got.
right now. Yeah. There's Rabbi Natan is not the one who says this. The Ramban quotes the Rav Av Beis Din, right? He's also a.k.a. the Eshkol, a.k.a. Ravid number two, a.k.a. the father-in-law of the Ravid that we know and love. Who says that actually we are, since a person is allowed to make a hefsek in his Kriya Shema to say Shalom to his Rebbe, right? So once that happened, we said across the board, we're just not going to consider that period of interruption a hefsek. Right, because people are going to be perturbed. Right? How can I interrupt my Kriya Shema to say hello to my Rebbe? So we say no problem. Right, just in general, we're not going to treat that period of time as a hefsek. Right, so don't sweat the interruption because really we don't think that saying hello for 2 seconds is an interruption at all. So that's just like a kind of similar approach to Rabbi Natan that's developed independently.
There are different types of interruptions. In terms of that, there's a logical interruption and there's an ideological interruption. So if you interrupt the middle of Shema, say the middle of a pasuk, even the middle of two pasukim, those pasukim really rely on each other. It's clear that one attaches to the other. If I interrupt between two different statements, then it's not as clear. If each one holds within its own. It's like Pagin and Devura.
If you said again, if
you stop the middle of a pasuk,
yeah.
And it's clear that when you said at the beginning of the pasuk, you haven't reached a verb yet, so it doesn't mean anything. So when you get to the end of the pasuk, after you use Shalom to your Rebbe, that's clear that the pasuk goes together. However, if you had two different statements, each of them relies on themselves, and then there's...
That's a good point. In other words, so basically, in Tosos raised the question of it being more difficult to have a toch kedei dibur to allow you to do a reversal than it is to allow you to do an explanation. So you're really saying there's even one stage which is easier than that, which is I was in the middle of saying something, and then there was an interruption, and then I just continue with what I was saying before. Yeah, I hear that. And then, that's not a problem for the Rav Av Beis Din, because he's going to say that, you know, not everyone's such a London, so we just want to have an across-the-board Xera that period of time isn't considered a hafsek. Is he going to allow you to talk for no reason in the middle of Kriya Shema for necessary? Right? So he can't, because the Mishnah says that you can only interrupt in certain situations. So I don't know how he's going to explain that. So, one second. Yeah, some of the Achronim try to kind of change Rabbi Natan into the next set of Rishonim that we're going to deal with, but it doesn't really seem to be convincing. And also, in Sefer Yashar, Rabbi Natan is explicit in saying what he says. But the next set of Rishonim, so really, right in the Ritva and the Ran, you have kind of two basic different approaches. One of which is very appealing. We have two problems. Well, on a source level, we have two problems with Toch Kedei Dibur Dami. Number one, we don't seem to have a Makar. Number two, it's very difficult to say that this is only operating on a Durabanan level. So the Ritva and the Ran both solve this in one fell swoop. Let's talk about the Ritva first, because it's good stuff. I think it means that his lips are still moving.
Okay.
Like basically inertia, right? Like verbal momentum. So then based on that, what's the idea of the Ritva? It's in the Dharma, yeah, that one. Nirbaina, the Shami Lochamir Kulha, Shanos Elson Logor, Daitu Gosa, Alde Yishan. Abahani came in the Hamir Kulha. Oh, no, wait a second. Where's the. Oh, okay, thank you. I was reading the Ran. There we go, thanks. Okay, the top of page number 2 and the source quotes, right? So he quotes Tosfos, right, as saying that this principle is working midrabanan. And actually, let's read that first line carefully. Tosfos derabanan yavu hai shiura. This period of time is derabanan, which actually supports the argument before that the fundamental institution is mida oraisa, right? Just the time frame is being expanded. Right, and the Rebbe says you don't need this, right? Because what's the more simple approach to why tochti ruki dibradami is this guy's lips are still moving from his first statement, and it is as if he is still speaking, right? There is some sort of verbal inertia, right? People are in the middle of talking, and they pause, right? They consider their thoughts. They're still in the middle of making a statement, right? And an extended silence shouldn't make you think that their talking period has ended.
You have to really give a hard definition of.
What do you mean a hard definition?
Meaning, it's hard to apply what he said, listen to what the actual shiur is, what the application is.
So let's just take, you know, just as dig one step deeper. What his svara is rooted in. What's the source for his svara?
His svara is a similar svara to Rabbi Natan. It's just logical.
It's not similar. Rabbi Natan is saying that this is that it's a gzeira because of cases where you have to make an interruption.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a logical svara. I mean, obviously logical svara, but it's purely based on, like, there are some sometimes people will just be in the middle of a conversation, they'll be moving lips for a second, mm-hmm. like as you ponder or they stutter for a second, and then they'll continue. Mm-hmm. Is that the definition? Is it that they're stuttering for a second? Is that they stop for a second, they're thinking, and they continue? Is it that, all different ways to make the chiluk?
Right. Lisa, what were you going to
say? Yeah, I was going to say that that's not what Ravina Tam says. That was really what you were saying about, like, a possible explanation for Ravina Tam, but not what they
right,
say.
It doesn't explain his right. shear at all.
Right, so this is trying to explain his
cheer mm-hmm.
through logic.
And we'll call this an umdana, right? This is our estimation of how people work, how people think, how people talk, right? Is that there are times where they're in the middle of saying something, and silence does not indicate cessation of speech, right? They're not saying words right now, but they're really still in the middle of talking. Right, and that's can work mida oraisa, and what's the makar for it? It's just an imdana. It's just our estimation of how our evaluation of how speech works or how people work. So that would not the footnote person thinks that the Ritva is mida rabbanan, but I saw the people who thought that he's mida oraisa, and I don't understand why you would say it's the rabbanan. It just you're causing unnecessary problems. Okay. The next question is going to be, what's the scope of the Ritva's idea? Right. So the Ritva talks about momentum, right? Lip inertia, right? So that your speech is still going. So what if someone was doing a kinyan, and then immediately after they performed the Maisa kinyan, they said, never mind, I don't want to do it, right? So is that going to be okay or not?
What's the
depends?
Yeah, kinyan hakbah, right? We sell the phone.
So you did hakbah, so it doesn't.
I do a hakbah, and then within 3 seconds,
yeah.
Never mind, I don't want to do it anymore. I go back.
I forgot. Tosa says that doesn't work. And once you did an actual maisa, then it's done.
Mm-hmm. So for yeah, Tosa doesn't work, right? According to the Rip and Adarm, should it work or not?
Oh, it's the Rip and
Adarm. Okay, the one just now. Okay, we just talked about it, right? Verbal inertia.
Hard to say.
Wait, can you repeat the case? Sorry.
I do a kinyan hagbah,
yeah.
And then within, the 3 seconds of tochti dibur, I say, never mind.
I would assume not, but then...
I want to go back on what I did.
I'd assume not, but he can
no,
say that.
No, because there was no conversation. It was just hagbah.
Right. So if I read the Ritva as exclusively referring to speech, right, that a silence does not indicate a cessation of speech... then it should not apply to actions. It should only apply to things in the area of speech. The problem is the next ritva, right? This short ritva in Baba Basra
where he quotes, right, certain people who thought that Toch Dibur K'dibur only applies to speech and does not apply to Kinyanim, right? Mm-hmm. And the Ritva rejects that with two words, Eino Nachon, right? So he doesn't tell you why Eino Nachon, he just tells you Eino Nachon. Even though, according to what he said in the Dharm, it would seem like it should be absolutely, Nachon Ma'od. So that is going to force us to reevaluate what the Ritva really was saying in the Dharm. Was he exclusively referring to momentum of, verbal momentum, verbal inertia? Or what's the real umdana here? An umdana in how people think, right? That it takes the human mind a certain amount of time to process information, right? And you could be in the middle of doing something, despite the fact that there's a pause for a couple of moments. Right, so just like I'm in the middle of speaking, and I stop for a second, but that doesn't indicate that my speech has ended. It just, it's the way the human mind works, is it sometimes takes a second to process things. So who says my maisa ended just because I lifted it up? I'm still processing mentally whether I intend to perform this kinyan or not. Right, so we're going to make this just a universal umdana of how people think, right? And the way people think is that sometimes it takes them up to, a couple of seconds to fully process their speech, their actions, their decision making, and therefore they're granted this amount of grace time.
Don't we say the maisa defines the intent? This is by Shechita. Does someone have to have the intent to do Shechita? So if someone performs Shechita, then we simply have that.
You mean Stama Lashma?
If
you shechta karba?
I think the kid. Not karba. I think the case is of a. Gemara brings down the case of a kid. It's not bar das, but he performed the Maisa Shechita.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the din? We assume the Maisa Shechita determines the das. Since for the Maisa Shechita, then we assume we had the das.
I'm not familiar with that. So I don't know. You don't really need das for shechting.
Maybe it's something else. Somewhere there's the idea that the Maisa defines the das. I'll find the law show.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know why that should cause any problems here, though. In other words, all we're saying
now... Because once he already did the action of Hagbah, then he had Das to do it. He had Das to make the Kenyan. Why should he now... Why is that retroactive?
If the instant after he did the Kenyan, right, the instant after he did it, he said, never mind, without any gap at all in between, mm-hmm. Well, he still might not. Okay. Because him changing his mind tells us, right, that really he changed his mind while, right, really his das changed in the middle of doing the Maisa Kenyan,
mm-hmm.
Right? Just his words didn't catch up to his brain, right? So while he's doing the Kenyan, right, deep down his brain is saying, don't do this, don't go there. Right, that takes a second to be processed and come out and say I don't want to do this anymore.
But if we say that your actions attribute your define your das,
yeah,
in general
they do. But if you go back on what you did within 2 seconds, that indicates that it did not.
Mm-hmm.
You did not have that real das. In fact, you had fundamental misgivings and didn't have das to make a Kenyan. That didn't get processed and expressed itself until a couple of seconds later, right? So that I think really seems to be the shita that the Ritva is putting forward, which has the advantages of explaining how this can work mida oraisa and explaining how it can cover both kinyanim as well as thoughts. It also, I think, I mean, how's the Ripa going to explain Teren Kriya? Because Teren Kriya, we have a reverse, the reverse situation, right?
Because you did it already, so it's not like you're still in the middle of doing it. Like, you did it once, and then... Mm-hmm. You're...
Well, you think you said the same exact thing you said by the Maisagba. Meaning the Maisa was done, but then you came to redefine the Maisa.
So again, but the problem here is that we're not canceling the Kriya, we're affirming the Kriya, right? We're switching the target of it.
It's not das. I mean, you're just changing your das. It's the same
isn't
idea.
Isn't it sort of similar to the Kinyan Hagba'ah, though? Because, like, you already bought it.
I suppose. I did the Kinyan, but then... Yeah. Oh, right, the fact that he went back on it 2 seconds later indicates that he had real problems, therefore we're going to annul the Kinyan.
Right.
But of the case where the person tears Kriya for one relative, and then within Toch Kedei Dibur, they find out that it's another relative, and we say that the Kriya still works. So... So I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know. And it bothers me because this Ritva is in Nidarim, and Nidarim is the Gemara which talks about the Kriya Sugya. But at least I can't readily give an explanation for how he explains the case of Kriya. Yeah, I don't know. You try to say something about even after the act of tearing, the information is still being processed 2 seconds later. So could you say that you're still in the that you're still in the middle of your Maisa Kriya, even though the act of tearing has already finished because you're still processing the information?
Should that require that you keep ripping though?
That's what you'd think, right?
I think part of the question is, what are you really coming to undermine in the case of Hagba? Are you undermining the action, or are you undermining your das? Can we say you can undermine your das, your action? I think that logically it's hard to say. Like, mm-hmm. You can undermine the action itself, but you're coming to undermine the das. So if you could say that, then obviously then you would be able to say that you could undermine your das when you were tearing, and then change it to being on someone else.
But if the act was done, how could you retroactively?
Which case of Kriya? I was assuming just now that we're talking about the case of Kriya of where you figure out someone else. You figure out your son, not your father.
Yeah, a case of mistaken identity.
So yeah, mistaken identity. Right. Then if you're coming to undermine your das, then of course you undermine your das. But if you're coming to undermine the action itself, that's not very helpful. Because you may say, okay, you undermine the action of Hagba, but undermining the action of Kriya, it's not going to really help you. And okay, then you do Kriya, then you do Kriya again.
You should have to do Kriya again.
If you're undermining the action. If you're undermining your das, then no.
Undermining the das means that when I lifted up the cell phone to acquire it, I didn't actually have intent to make a Kenyan.
Yeah,
right.
You can say you had negative intent to make it.
You know, and just my, even though my hand is lifting up the phone, it's just because my brain hasn't yet caught up. My hand hasn't caught up to where my brain is, right? My brain is already saying, don't make the Kinyan, right? I'm doing it, and then a couple seconds later, that exhibits itself. Person's told that one relative has passed away, and so they tear Kriya, and then 2 seconds later, they're told that never mind, it was someone else. So, there was no incongruence between their das and their maisa. Right? they fully intended to tear for relative A.
Well, the Gemara by Nedarim expresses two different cases. There's a case of where it hurts someone, and there's a case where you tear for your father and end up being your son.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the Gemara's chila between them isn't that your das is different in two different cases, but what was Tokhi de Dibor, what was not Tokhi de Dibor. Unless you understand that that is what and we can make a better chila in that Gemara. That's Tokhi. In the case where you weren't sure because you were told someone died and you assumed it was your father,
mm-hmm.
right, you can say Tokhi de Dibor there because, yes, there's what to say, your mind wasn't made up, so they undermine your das. But if you say it's the case of where you were told it was your father and it being your son,
mm-hmm.
you fully intended to care for your father. You had no idea that it was going to be your son.
Right.
So that's why Tokhi de Dibor is not applicable in the case of Ubano rather than the case of Ish Misha Meis.
But the Gemara says that it works.
In the case, In the case of when there's someone. Not in the case of where, the case where you were told father you and then it was son, it doesn't work.
Yes, it does.
But the Gemara says it doesn't work. Yeah. I thought the other case it works. That's
a... V'ha Tanya, Amr lo meis aviv v'kar v'achar kach nimtza b'nel, lo yitzi dekriya. Yeah, when you're told it was the when you're explicitly told, then it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Amr lemeis lemeis except for avivhai of a karvach kachnun sabino yatsa yede kriya.
Right. Next question is because one case tokhi de
and it works. So if it's tokhi de dibor.
Right. So then you can say tokhi de dibor is only applicable if there's one that said that your mind wasn't made up. If your girl is your father, then. You had full time.
Meaning he wasn't 100% sure. He was 95% sure. Or 90% sure. Okay, it still doesn't explain... it still doesn't explain the Ritva's... You know... doesn't get me home.
It the Ritva.
Does it?
Because then you could say, what's the Ritva going on? The Ritva wants it only discusses a case of...
But that's cheating.
You weren't sure when there was...
Every case.
What?
You have to explain every case.
Whichever case.
Okay, so you weren't sure. The person wasn't sure, right? And so they tore for person A, and then they find out, no, it was actually person B.
Well, if the person was told it was person A,
mm-hmm.
I've seen the Riffle would say this as well, if the person was told person A, of course it wouldn't work because they had full intent to tear for person A. Therefore...
Right, but...
There's not what to say that they weren't sure, that they could undermine their das at that point.
Uh-huh.
But if they were told someone, they assume their father's on the deathbed, so it's their father, and ended up being their son.
Yeah.
So they're only 99% sure because they weren't given the actual name of someone.
Beseder, but so then how does the Kriya actually count for the son?
Because it's coming to undermine his previous das. And there is what to undermine them.
But you can't. But how do you replace it?
Because it's the same. It's the same das. It's all one. This is Tokhi de Dibor. You could redefine what you were thinking then. You could retroactively apply clarity to it.
Okay. So, that's not what the Ritva said. We didn't say anything about redefining. Time traveling.
It's meaning the statement as fine. So the statement as a whole now has this din. When you originally picked up the object, right? If you in the end decided that you want to make a kinyan, then you made a kinyan. But if the end you decided that no, I didn't really want to make a kinyan within this Tokhi de Dibor of thought, then the das as a whole, even when you were holding the object, even when you performed the act of bagba. Was das of I don't want to be making a kinyan right now, negative das, no kinyan.
So I could understand that if the only change was your decision making process.
Mm-hmm.
But if the change is that a new piece of information entered into the equation between when I did my maisa and afterwards, then you can't say that.
Why not?
Because I really, really was thinking thing X, and what changed, the reason why I'm now at thought Y and not a thought X is not because that was my organic decision making, it's because they gave me new information.
You You said there's an ideal gray rug vault.
Oh, let's not go there. I mean, come on.
Is your das for the chal on anything if you were not told specifically who it's for? You assumed. But if you assumed, is your das chal on it?
Apparently not fully, because that's the distinction the Gemara makes, but within the framework of the Ritva, I just don't understand how you make a difference. You could be confident, I still need to figure it out. The other advantage that the Ritva has is that the Ritva is very happy to explain why Avodah Zarah and Kiddushin and Gittin are totally different, right? Because in those cases, you have in fact seriously considered, right? Nobody does a half-baked Maisa Avodah Zarah or a half-baked Maisa Kiddushin.
Is this the Ron?
So the Ron has the Ron says the same thing. The Ron has one tweak off of the Ritva, which will help, could help with the Nedarim din. Right, the Ron introduces this idea of Tanai, right? That everybody hedges their bets, right? Mm-hmm. And that when you do whenever you launch yourself into an action, into a speech, you're always doing it, right? Al Tanai, that I kind of reserve myself the right to, you know, this intent is subject to change, right? For a brief period of time. And that's the addition that the Ran throws into the equation. And what that's going to do is that can help explain the Kriya case.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Because why?
Well, when we were doing the Gemara, like before we read the Ran, this is how Leora was understanding it, actually.
Awesome. Leora, perhaps?
Yeah. If you're listening. that, like, when you hear that someone died and you start hearing Kriya and you, like, don't fully know who it is, you're, like, you do it with the assumption that, like, you could be wrong. Like, yeah.
Right. So if, you know, it's a bet hedging, if it's someone else, then this action will go to them. Idea. Right. And so that's like the one tweak in the run, which helps cover that case. Maybe the Ritva thought that as well. I don't know. They just didn't say it, so it's hard to say. And then in that framework, right, you'll say, why are Gittin and Kiddushin and Avodah Zarah different, right? Because there are some times in life where you aren't hedging your bets, right? You're saying this going straight in, right? And if, you know, someone's doing a Maisa Kiddushin saying, you know, well, I'm really doing this all tonight, they don't feel guilt 2 seconds later, yeah, then they probably shouldn't be going into that decision in the first place. Okay. So that basically is the whole school of thought, that this is rooted in umdina of your hedging, changing, you know, momentum, inertia, das. There's one other approach, which is, I think, the most appealing. It just has one gaping problem. A lot of the Achronim like this a lot, and it's explicit in the Yad Ramah. And that is, in fact, right, what Adam was kind of hinting to towards before, I was trying to push you off of, because I don't think it's the Ritva, but it is the Yad Ramah, and that is that, yeah, in fact, we do have halachic time traveling here. But it's not really halachic time traveling. It really is, how do we define units of time? The best, probably, analogy for this, right, is in the Hilchos Sukkah, right, so we have the principle of lavud, right, which is I could have a gap of, a space gap of 3 tvachim, mm-hmm. right, but is that a gap? No, right, there are certain spaces which are not considered gaps, right? Mm-hmm. That's what Lavud tells us about space. So what Lavud tells us about space, Toch Kedibur Kedibur Dami could tell us about time, right? That there is just, right, there are certain gaps of time which are not halakhically recognized as gaps of time, right? You have Lavud for time. That's what we could consider Toch Kedibur Kedibur Dami as. What's the line that he has here? He says this. He says, if you just pick up right after the comma on the third line in the Ramah, on the very bottom, and he says, if the second piece was right after the first piece in Tochi Dibur, so Ketrilas Dibur Dami, it's as if it's in the same speech. V'roen es ha'achron ki ilu ne'mar onasa im harishon b'vas achas. Right? It's as if it was said simultaneous with the first piece, or otekef l'rishon, right, or immediately subsequent to the first piece, below shehiyo v'lo hafsek, right? We that's not considered a gap at all. right? Now, once you say that this is just a principle of, halachic time gap elimination, right? Like love it for time. So it makes sense to apply this to speech, and it makes sense to apply this to actions, right? It makes sense to apply this to the Kinyan Hagba case. Mm-hmm. And it makes a lot of sense to apply this to Kriya, right? Because that's not a real gap in time, right? When you tore for relative X, as long as you weren't 100%, in on that, absolutely, right? The subsequent Shmiya could make that tearing for Y instead, right? Because really this is happening. Bavas Achas. Probably didn't see it, but the Rav Moshe applies this to a question of if people are eating candy or chewing gum. So do they need to make repeated brachos every time they're mashana the makom with the gum in their mouths, right? And so the Rav Moshe says no, and the reason is because you're constant chewing, right? Even if you take a break for like a second, right? There's no gap here. Mm-hmm. This is all one piece in time. The problem that's going to have is lavad is halacha moshmi sinai. So what's the makar for a time lavad of toch kedibur kedibur dami? I don't know. I'll leave that open. Unless we say, as I said before, that like definitionally there has to be some space which isn't considered a space and time, and we just kovea that at Tochei Dibur, at Shalom Alecha Rav or Shalom Alecha, right? That just could be our, idea of like the minimal time gap. But I'll leave that as a question. I'm still not sure.
Shalom Alecha really is short. A second.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's really that's probably, I think that maybe that's what the answer is. Like it's the least amount of time that you could say anything. Like what could you say less than Shalom Alecha?
Just Shalom.
Right. If you're like a New Yorker and you're not friendly, right? So you just get a Shalom. So maybe that's where it comes from. But I'm not sure. But that's what like all the Achronim want to say, because it definitely
That it's just really short.
That Tochei Dibur Kedibur Dami is it's as if it's all said together, right? We look at this as one piece of time, Bavas Achas. That's going to help a bunch of other cases, because there are times where you have like different sets of Edim who are, like the Gemara in Makos talks about one set of Edim, which is Meyed, within Tochei Dibur of the second set of Edim, that they're combined. You can't say there that it's one person's Das, right? Because it's one set, and then the next set comes, right? Mm-hmm. So if Toch Kidei is combining them, then that just indicates that we look at this as if it's Vasachas. Makes a lot of sense. Okay, Shkachas.
So I found the phrase that I was looking for. Machshava Tov, Ni Kerikim Tov Masa.
Machshava Tov. Okay.
I'm going to take a crap if it really implies or if it means. I'm not sure what's even going on here. The Gemara is trying to figure out whether or not the Kata could do Shechita, and then it goes to this. I'm not sure why it goes to this. Because compares to a case of if you have a knife stuck in a cold belt, and then an animal comes and rubs against it, it's perfectly shafted. Does that work?
Mm-hmm, right, the self-shafted.
Yeah.
Self-shafted cow.
Yeah, so.
Then there's the misase cow, where you're doing knife target practice.
Oh yeah, my favorite is when you have the round thing. You have this wheel with knives on it, uh-huh. And it's spinning around, and then a cow passes and it cuts it.
Uh-huh. All right. Anyone from PETA is not going to be very happy with that. Anyone from PETA is not going to be very happy with that.
Yeah. I don't think PETA's going to be happy with most things that we do.
I think they're generally not happy in general.